I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is time for our weekly listener mail program, where we get to hear from the best part of the show, you and your fellow conspiracy realists. We are going to hear from our friend Big Shucks, who appears to have accepted the nickname that we pitched. We're going to get an update on some very strange culty news. But before we do any of that, we got a cavalcade of voicemails, right? Because there are some interesting tips that came our way.
We've been getting so many incredible messages. Thanks to everybody who's been calling in. Let's jump to a message from Sydney, who has an interesting idea about a weeding technique I'd never heard of.
Hey, it's been a long time. This is Sydney. I just listened to your episode about the Mexican cartel. I think it was a strange news. You know, guys were talking about Roundup. And, I mean, I live in Iowa, so Roundup is literally everywhere. Roundup Ready Corn, we talk about it all the time. So many people defend it. My dad even defends it. And I'm like, Dad, I really don't want you to get cancer and die. Anyways, you were talking about having to pull your weeds hand by hand. If you mix up Dawn dish soap and some water, it can also kill weeds in your garden or in your flower bed. So that's I don't know if Dawn dish soap is toxic. I don't think it is, but that is a different, that's an alternative for you. So yeah, there you go. Love you guys.
Wow. Oh, thanks so much, Sydney.
Thank you, Sydney.
Googling Dawn dish soap toxic.
Yes, exactly. Well, and use as a weed killer, right? I've never heard of that. My gosh, no. If I can go buy one thing at Dawn dish soap, a bucket, and a means of spraying, then I'm into it. And I will do that rather than spraying all the chemicals I end up buying to get rid of these weeds. Super cool. I had never heard of that before. You may have mentioned Sydney, say, like, hey again, like, very much hi again. Sydney has called in to us before. She told us a story about losing, I believe it was her purse or her handbag on a form of mass transit, and just what that entailed and what that was like. And we talked to her before about that. This concept of living in Iowa, which Sydney describes as the cancer capital of the world. And again, she's attributing that, and a lot of other people attribute that, to the large use of herbicides and pesticides that just hang out on the lands all throughout the farmland out there in Iowa. That freaked me out just thinking about that, living in that environment, and then finding an alternative like this that appears to be non-toxic, at least to everything I've seen on it.
Result said Google was, yes, Dawn soap does contain toxic ingredients.
Oh.
Something to the effect of a condition called acute aquatic toxicity. It does appear, though, that's certainly of a lesser order than Roundup, for sure.
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, it is allegedly killing plants, so that's probably not good or great. My big question was, will it also kill your grass? And Sydney's response was, well, grass grows back. I'm not worried about that. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not use it on your vegetable garden.
There you go. Mm. Good call. All right. Next, we've got a message from Trash Panda with an interesting take on those loyalty programs. All right, here we go.
Hello, STDWYTK crew. In some circles, I'm known as Trash Panda. Recently on an episode, you guys talked about grocery stores needing phone numbers in order to access deals. If you don't want to give your own phone number, I suggest you think about Jenny. I have used 8675309 at multiple different grocery stores over the years, and there was always an account. Doesn't matter the area code. My local Ralph's, which I believe is Kroger's on the East Coast, is actually transitioning to an app, so this trick does have a shelf life. Thank you for all the content, and y'all totally have my permission to use my voice and message if you see fit. Thanks a bunch. Bye.
Thank you, Trash Panda. Awesome.
Yeah, right?
Awesome.
Kroger and Ralph's are the same thing.
Kroger is in the midst of a huge corporate overlord move.
This sounds to me like the way they call Carl's Jr. Hardee's in our neck of the woods, mm-hmm. and Carl's Jr. In the West. Mm-hmm. I'll have to Google that if that's the case.
Kroger and Albertsons are the big thing going on right now.
Yeah, for now. And then we'll see what happens next year, next quarter. But yeah, I just want to take a second and Trash Panda. First off, I want to say thank you so much for your awesome name. And I think we may have corresponded in the past, but this is a brilliant idea. I am all about Discordianism and polite fun anarchy. So let's wreck the system.
Anarchy in the USA, another great song. So this one, guys, got stuck in my head ever since we got this message. What's the name of that group? It's Two Tone? Tommy Two Tone? No, what's it? What's the guy, the band that did 8675309?
I got your number on the wall.
Okay.
I think you're right, yeah.
Well,
I never knew the name.
In my head, I talked to Trash Panda for a little bit. She said that she heard a rumor that was actually a number that was on a bathroom wall that one of the bandmates saw. Noel, I just wanted to see if you had any music trivia with it.
Well, I know that it's such an earworm that I don't think the number exists. Like they purposefully don't allow people to have that number because it would get called, you know, ad nauseum.
I can confirm that at least the way I have. And this is just me, but the way I had heard this rumor, it did seem to have a lot of validity. I think there's an interview with members of the band speaking this. But again, that's
awesome. According to Trash Panda, that phone number was disconnected no matter who had it or when after that song came out and was such a hit. Any phone, you just can't have that phone number anymore. But I guess with this system,
they don't call you. They don't cross-reference your phone number to give you a Kroger account.
No, not usually unless it starts moving towards the app thing.
That's right.
Like we're talking about here where then you might validate. Have two-factor authentication at some point or whatever. It seems like it will go out the window. But for now, this is a little hack that we can all use.
And y'all, Ralph's is in the Kroger family of stores. It's like, you know, they got to have brand recognition regionally. And for us, I guess it's Kroger. On the West Coast, it's Ralph's.
Exactly.
It was in the Big Lebowski, for crying out loud.
And the last message we've got for today comes from A-Frame. And this message has to do with our episode of Strange News, where we're talking about cartels and moving high-caliber weapons, pretty much military weapons.
Hey guys, it's A-Frame again, and I wanted to wait a day to call you, and I didn't really want to email this, but when you're talking about how the cartels and have access to military-grade weaponry and it's being actively brought into Mexico and increasing violence there and leading to a lot of the fear-mongering happening here around illegal immigration and drugs, that is not new. I don't do hard drugs anymore. I just smoke my weed. Sometimes I'll take some mushrooms. I don't do anything else. I only really drink occasionally, and I just like beer, you know, or like a nice cocktail. I don't really like going too hard. too old for that. But when I was in high school in 2012 and 13, I can tell you that it was easier for me to get a hand grenade and a Mac 11 than it was for me to get alcohol because I had access to cocaine. And when you have access to cocaine, you do and always have had access to everything. So everybody you know who does coke, if they played it cool enough and asked the right questions, they could get a hand grenade. They could get an RPG. Maybe their dealer doesn't want them to know the full extent of who they know because they don't necessarily trust them. But if you have access to hard drugs like cocaine and ecstasy, you have access to any and everything from guns to people. The black market is just there, and it's not... There's really very little separation in those organizations in between selling one product and another. And Operation Fast and Furious, you guys certainly know about that. That was name dropped by my homeboy who had those hand grenades. He was like, you ever heard of Operation Fast and Furious? And I was like, yeah, isn't that the thing people are mad at Obama about? Because they, like, gave guns to cartels to see where they smuggled them to, see if they could catch them later. And he's like, yeah, want to see a hand grenade? And that's how it all started. So it was just, it was very laissez-faire, very casual, just normal to him. It wasn't new, it wasn't a conspiracy, it wasn't mind-blowing. He just had access to things from the military that they were bringing over the border so it would be smuggled and they could track it and try to figure out where the smuggling routes were. And that's it. They've been doing it since, like, the 80s. Obama just got in trouble for it because he got in trouble for things. That, but he didn't start it. It's been going for a long time. It's going to go for a while. That's my personal experience with it. Makes me very uncomfortable to think about in the past how easy it was for me to get that stuff. Have a good day, guys.
Wow.
Never thought of that perspective. That's very interesting.
A-Frame always comes in with the best stuff, man.
Dude, A-Frame, you guys, if you're listening out there, you have no idea how often A-Frame calls in with stuff. We're just like, oh, well, that's amazing, but... This isn't the A-Frame show, A-Frame. You can't have amazing things every time, but you do every time. We have several of you out there do that. We're just bangers every time. I don't have any personal experience with this stuff, guys, but I, you know, hearing that from somebody who has had experience, who's gone through it, who just this concept of if you have access to that specific drug, I guess cocaine, as a dealer, I guess, then potentially you have access to other things. I don't know. That to me feels like an exaggeration, but maybe it's not. I don't know.
Depends on what level of the supply chain you're at.
Yeah.
If you're like a lower level dealer, you know, the person above you is dealing with the big shots or the top dogs or whatever, you know, who deal with the manufacturers and or importers, perhaps. I would think they would at that level have that kind of access, but I don't know that it would necessarily trickle down all the way.
Yeah, yeah. The crime is like any other business enterprise, right? Ultimately, for longevity, one must diversify. You know, it's quite rare for the typical, to Noel's point, the typical, what they would call street level drug dealer to say, sorry, I only sell cocaine. I would make money off of you, but you're looking for the wrong thing. Because way back when my ancestors started, you know, Snow Blow and Sons, we decided we would only sell one thing, the finest artisan cocaine. No, they're gonna sell you weed. They're going to sell you whatever can be sold. And then just like cartels diversify the avocados, then they are going to diversify into other means of income. And there is a very strong argument that criminalizing this stuff the way the U.S. does further empowers those criminal endeavors. But, Congress isn't asking us about it.
Do you think there will be, like, I don't know, what, bespoke cocaine 100%. Brands in, obviously. What, 10, 20 years?
100%. Wow.
That's so crazy. I can already imagine the Apple-like stores that will pop up across the world.
The further up the hierarchy you go, right, the more interesting these criminal products can get. I mean, shout out to Pablo Escobar for introducing the hippopotamus. To his part of the Americas, where they're still around. I mean, he was at the top. I don't think if we went to our average street level dealer and said, like, hey, great work on the cocaine. what are your prices on hippos? Do you have price breaks if we get like one a piece? You know?
Well, I guess if you are talking about, okay, let's just say it's the probability of someone answering yes to the question, oh, hello, sir or madam, do you know where I might acquire a Military Armament Corporation Model 10, which is just a MAC 10? If someone could answer yes to that, you can, I guess, in this case, someone who's in the dealings that are described there by A-Frame, it would probably be a higher probability. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, you got to think about prohibition as well, right? That's a great comparison. So in the days of alcohol prohibition in the United States, organized crime was also making money running guns. It's just another income stream. And typically, as a rule, organized crime is not going to be too discriminating against it. Like, we romanticize the mob where they say, oh, we're not doing drugs, we just do gambling or racketeering or whatever. But more and more often, they diversify. So it makes sense that you would be able to connect the drugs and the firearms.
Divisify? Diversify your vice. Well, thank you to everybody who, again, called in and everybody we just listened to there. We'll be right back with more messages from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned with another piece of listener mail, a missive from you. Yes, you. In this case, we have a message, as Ben pointed out at the top of the show, from Big Shucks. Really appreciate you adopting the nickname. I'm just going to jump right into it. This is about being robbed in a more techie kind of way. Let's jump right in. Hello, my fellow handsome travelers. That is very kind. In the most recent podcast episode, I heard you may be doing an episode related to credit cards. So I would like to share some interesting info about them if you haven't already heard. I was at a bar when I first heard about these long-range skimmers. I started chatting with the guy next to me, and he told me a story about how his company credit card had been skimmed, but not the normal way. He hadn't even used his card on any device in the taxi. He used an app to pay for the ride. The only way they found the guy is because his company called him about 20 to 30 minutes after the taxi ride to downtown Seattle, and they asked him about a purchase of very expensive jewelry. Yikes. Police were able to get there pretty quickly and found the guy still in the store and arrested him. Apparently, there is a group within the Seattle PD that specifically deals with these kinds of issues. What you might think of as a card skimmer is a bit different from what happened in the above story. While normal card skimming is a big problem, there are other devices that can be quite a good distance away from your card. If your card has RFID capabilities, it can be copied either with smaller devices similar to the Flipper Zero or by big devices placed in the trunks of taxis. Now, I'm not trying to harp on taxi drivers here. These devices can steal credit card info while just walking around an area with the skimmer placed in a backpack. And he links to a video showing just that. Here's a quote from a blog entry on ButterflyMX.com. Long-range RFID skimmers don't need to be directly next to an RFID credential to read its information. Instead, most skimmers can read from a distance of up to 19 inches or 50 centimeters. Here's a kicker. However, users can boost the power of an RFID skimmer with antennas or other long-range transmission technologies to try to collect data from further away. Then he linked to an article from Hackaday.com, RFID readers snoops cards from 3 feet away. And here's the thing as well. You can legally buy these devices online. Just a quick Google search and you will find them. And then linked to literally a place online where you can buy something called a UHF RFID small integrated reader. So I guess it exists under the auspices of kind of being a card reader, perhaps for mobile use. But yeah, it's not that. I mean, I guess it could be, but. And it's only $334.80 with $57.99 in shipping. So not cheap, but hey, I mean, think of all the card numbers you could steal. No, don't do that. That's gross. Mythbusters, in fact, was forced by the big credit card legal teams to not air an episode regarding RFIDs in credit cards. And then linked to an article in The Register. Mythbusters RFID episode axed after pressure from credit card firms. I don't know if you guys had heard about this. I certainly had not. It seems as though a request for interview with the Texas Instruments Company is what led to this, this episode being shut down.
I remember hearing about this one. Do you remember this?
Yes, quite vividly.
It was a big deal because it was one of, if not the only episode that they got shut down about.
Right. Because the issue is, first off, it's terrible PR for credit card companies and for the consumer finance industry in general, as you know, Big Shucks. And also it shows people how non-secure our stuff is, you know, just like think about when you're driving on the road and the only thing stopping people from careening into you is an agreed upon system of pretending painted lines are barriers. It's a social contract. There is a social contract that says your credit card accounts and your tap to pays and your PINs are safe. I got to tell you, Noel, and fellow conspiracy realist, Big Shucks, especially tuning in, Big Shucks already knows about this, but one thing that is very handy for these is RFID blocking, kind of wallet.
1,000,000%.
Like this thing.
That's what I got too.
Yeah, and actually that Butterfly MX kind of techie blog entry that they linked to has all kinds of details on how to protect yourself against this technology, which has existed longer than we might think. This stuff can be amplified to pick up these numbers, this data, and store it in the form of a text document or a text entry. There's a whole system that can be put together. Like, again, you don't buy the thing and it does the whole job for you. You got to have a little bit of know-how. Like, there was one description of one that involved using an Arduino, kind of little microcomputer thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you can get away with doing this stuff and having this UHF RFID small integrated reader because it does technically have a legitimate use.
Sure. Like pin testing.
Right. When you pair it with other stuff, it can be bad news. But again, the amplification part of it too, that's requires a little bit of know-how, you know, to get that kind of like repeater or whatever to make it like. And I did read though that while this stuff is scary and it can be, you know, amplified, it when you amplify it like that, it's not as precise. It's sort of just like casting a real wide net, and it can be interfered with by regular old electromagnetic interference and radio signals and all kinds of stuff. So chances are, this isn't how you're going to get how you're going to get ripped off. It's going to be by one of those more traditional skimmers or some phishing kind of exercise, you know, that's trying to steal your digital currency.
Just one of the hacks that's already happened.
100%. It's your data being leaked by the company that's purported to have, you know, been a good steward of it.
Also, there, you know, the main skeleton key in these sorts of shenanigans is always going to be social engineering, right? Leveraging that expectation of safety and privacy. So be careful with that. You know, there are other things, gotta say it. This is always endlessly fascinating to a lot of us listening this evening. Yes, you can teach yourself to do this online, but, and I'm sure this does not apply to any of our fellow listeners, do be aware that if you are researching this stuff online and you somehow get involved with shenanigans, the authorities are going to pull your search history. And they will know.
Well, you know, it's interesting too. I mentioned this idea of, like, you know, requiring some technical know-how to kind of jury-rig some of this stuff together. But now that I'm looking a little deeper into this product that's available on AliExpress, it already has the antenna. It looks like a router, basically. So again, maybe there's a legitimate use for this, but I don't know. Isn't AliExpress kind of like a little notorious for being sort of a hub for getting stuff you're maybe not supposed to have?
Well, it's all the intention and the application of the technology. Like, again, to the point I'm making here, like, you can teach yourself to do this stuff in an afternoon. Legitimate testing, for anybody who's wondering what pen testing is, pen testing is a portmanteau for penetration testing. So you can help a company or a client evaluate how secure their electronic systems are.
Or your own network, you know? I mean, if you wanted to, right? If you've got... Some people have RFID fobs that gain you access to your home, to your property, to private areas, you know, perhaps safes. So maybe you would be doing this to pen test your own facilities.
Yeah. Well,
yep. Completely valid.
A buddy of mine has been for a long time in security, like network security for large enterprise companies. And he does that with his home system. He routinely tries to figure out, if I wanted to, how could I get in? And then he's constantly plugging holes, and he knows what he's doing. So it's like it's basically there's a never ending series of issues that come up when hardware meets software, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be an exciting little ongoing battle that we're going to be having for the rest of our human lives.
It's an old war.
One of the recommendations too on the Butterfly MX article that seemed to be sort of geared towards like rental property owners or maybe even landlords of like apartment complexes or, you know, maybe developers was, it is kind of like, sort of like, is this better or worse? Moving more towards smartphone-based access like we have to our office. There's an app, but it does require two-factor authentication, and you do have to get this key provided to you that will expire. And it isn't, I guess it is RFID triggered, but there are layers that even give you access, and it requires, you know, password entries and like single sign-in kind of stuff for your whole company. So again, surely there's a way to backdoor that as well, but interesting stuff. It's also what I didn't realize in looking into this is that this stuff has been around a lot longer than one might think, especially for being something that maybe some of us hadn't been hip to yet.
It's an old war again. Yeah. I'll tell you, one of my favorite MacGyver just for funsies project, there is one way to absolutely prevent skimming at a long range or from several feet away, and it's like a nuclear option. You could just build an EMP, like a one use electromagnetic pulse device, and you can fit these inside of an Altoid tent. Like, you can build these. They're going to completely screw up everything else as well. So, you know, you're not going to have, your phone's not going to work either.
Like when MacGyver hacked that traffic light box to create a diversion and caused a multi-car pileup. Ooh. I always found it to be a little bit chaotic, not evil. I don't know. I forget the archetypes, but to your point, Ben, there in terms of other maybe hacky type ways, if you don't want to get one of those wallets, you can just wrap your cards in tinfoil, which goes back to the whole tinfoil hat thing about guarding your brain against penetration from whatever, infiltration by aliens or whatever it might be. But apparently, it is a pretty decent shield, but not very convenient and maybe a little embarrassing. You're ripping your card out of the store. Not nearly as aesthetic as that cool wallet you guys pulled out.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, here's the thing, too. And this is why I'm so glad you're bringing this up, Big Shucks. In coming years, not having security literacy is going to be like being illiterate is today.
Liability.
Right. If you have any younglings, if you have any kids you're raising, it's especially in a time where the erosion of privacy is being so aggressively normalized by the powers that be, it's important to know that you have to be the author of your own privacy, right? You have to be the author of your own security to an astonishing degree, especially in this. It sounds weird because for people who are not like Matt's friend, a security expert, you don't really think of a lot of this stuff because it's invisible until you see it through a UX on a screen. You know what I mean? And that that assumption is easily leveraged. This is making me even more paranoid. Maybe it's because the coffee's kicking in too. But Noel, what advice would you give to people who are hearing about this for maybe the first time and thinking, crap, what do I do? Should they go get a wallet? Should they get the tinfoil? What's up?
Get the sick wallet. Those things look badass. I want to get one now too. And they really are kind of becoming the norm. They're these kind of stretchy sort of card holder things where it's got lots of cool, little pockets and niches, but this technology is built in. Yours is a little different, Matt. Matt's
Mine looks
more
like
a
regular
wallet. Mm-hmm. Well, yours isn't as cool looking as Ben's. I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, if you want to go under the radar, you just get one of these.
Yeah, you don't want one that looks cool. The reason this one is the way it is because very few people see it.
Oh, fair enough. I'm just saying, I have seen those types before, Ben, and have toyed with getting one, and I just didn't pull the trigger. But now, after hearing this, because again, I knew about skimmers. I knew about a lot of this stuff. Didn't know about the long-range stuff. But again, not to give you a sense of false complacency, there is a whole section on this article and a couple that I've seen where it's not an exact science. Mm-mm. They can't target you and shoot a laser at you. It's sort of casting a wide net. And chances are, if you're outside and you're walking around and someone's not coming right up on you and, bumping into you, it's going to be a little bit hard for them to do it, even with those repeaters.
If someone is executing something at above a certain level of precision, like that means they have thought about this and they're aiming for you specifically, then you have other problems.
That's for damn sure. You got a stalker on your hands. They're going to take you for all you're worth.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Be anonymous. Oh, Matt, you sicko. No, man, it's true. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, be careful in X country. You're going to get robbed or you're likely to get mugged. I have found that the best solution to that is just to blend in. Don't make a scene. Don't make a big show of yourself. Look like you belong there. And maybe that's easier said than done, but I think all three of us, when traveling, roughly know how to do that. And knock on wood, I've never been victimized in this way, and I hope never to be. But just don't make yourself a target. That's all. That's not to say they were asking for it. It's nothing like that. Just, it's smart to be able to kind of blend in. That's all. Thank you, Big Shucks. Let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back with one more message from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. on demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned with an update for something that I can't believe we missed earlier. So we'll give you the part from 2023 and then we'll follow up. So a fellow conspiracy realist going by the moniker Hey Lee, H-E-Y-L-E-E, writes to us in October and says the following. Thanks for the many laughs I've had so far as a new listener. I began listening to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know earlier this year. I just began listening to Companies Started by Cults 2 this evening while doing the worst job in the world, washing dishes, and before long, I was laughing again. And Haley wants us to put in a trigger warning here for CSA and SA and creepy cult content. So we'll pause for a second for anybody who has listeners tonight who might find this content objectionable. All right, here we go. So Haley says, I was born and raised in a religious cult, usually referred to by researchers and other outsiders as the two by twos. Some of us who escaped call them bunheads, laugh or cry. Others call them the friends, the way, the truth, the gospel, so forth. In spite of their best efforts, they did not succeed in my indoctrination. I got out at age 15, and I am still an atheist. I was abused in nearly all the ways by parents and their version of the clergy. Recently, there has finally been some exposure in more mainstream press of the CSA and SA, so rampant for such a small population, around or less than 75,000 worldwide. There have been many excellent articles, books, and websites et al. For at least 30 years, produced mostly by former members. However, the cult still maintained invisibility to the general public overall. And I want to pause here because check me on this, guys. Keep me honest. I don't think we've talked about the 2x2s yet.
It does not ring a bell to me. I am looking at this Vice article that you linked out to, Ben. Yeah. And this is some shadowy, creepy stuff that is unfamiliar to me.
Yeah, the Vice article comes to us courtesy of Haley by Anna Merlin. A nameless insular religious sect is being rocked by a massive sexual abuse scandal. SA stands for sexual abuse. CSA stands for child sexual abuse. Haley goes on, before we get too much into this cult, which I think will be an episode in the future, Haley goes on and says, I've noticed you all are very gracious when talking about cults and religion. Just heard, I am not implying Christianity is a cult, per se, in this episode I'm listening to right now, for example, and no one would ever say that Christianity or Catholicism are a cult, but I assure you, gentlemen, there are a lot of us who do consider them cults, regardless of their size or how long they've succeeded in normalizing their unprovable fantasies. This is strong language. With their cannibalistic vampire mimicking, all the silly hats and sashes and dresses, and we say that out loud to anyone who can hear. A quick, legitimate way to assess whether or not a cult is a cult is to apply Dr. Stephen Hassan's BITE model. And this is, just to catch people up, the BITE model is something we talked about a little bit earlier, but it's a mnemonic. It stands for behavior, information, thought, and emotion, and how those things are controlled. And I think we're familiar with this, not just in stuff they don't want you to know, but in some of our other endeavors, correct?
Yeah, and especially some of the serial killer things, at least that I've looked at in the past. These killers have often attempted to control those very things over their victims, like when they've got them captive prior to killing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And check out our video on how to start a cult. It's pretty old now, but it still, unfortunately, holds up because the rules for these things don't really change, unfortunately. You can find more about the BITE model, which is quite a good rubric to look at, over on freedomofmind.com. And thank you again to Haley for the link. Haley also has some other links that they've sent to us, daily.com, advocatesforthetruth.com. These are both great resources. If you or a loved one have found yourself involved with something like the 2x2s or indeed any organization with cultic leanings, here's the thing. We received a follow-up correspondence from you, Haley, and you added the following quite recently. The FBI has begun investigating and recently sent out a news alert on 2x2 specifically, asking for victims and witnesses to report what they know. So Haley has asked us on behalf of all the victims of this organization to spread the word. FBI.gov has the word out. You can read more, as Haley says, on the BBC and the CBC, which, you know, we're big fans of the CBC, obviously. I would recommend reading a piece by George Wright over on BBC, the FBI launches probe into a church, and then reading on CBC, historical sexual abuse charges filed against BC minister, British Columbia minister, belonging to a church with no name, by Karen Larson. So these
guys, a really interesting organization.
Yeah, dates back to the 1800s.
Yeah, and just the idea that there's no churches, really, and there's no written doctrine, right? So when someone goes up and preaches, it's just it's oral preaching, right?
It's also incredibly malleable as a result.
Exactly. Oh, man, and the schism, I'm just looking here at some of the schisms over time. This is a deep dive for sure.
Yeah, I think this is an episode because, Haley, as you said, we do need to spread the word about these kinds of organizations, because organizations that thrive in the shadows or work best without transparency or public knowledge, they lose power when there is transparency. They lose power when there is accountability, right? This story is, as you said, Matt, it's just absolutely wild. It reminds me a little bit of the Finders or the garbage eaters. Remember those?
Right.
And they kind of had that same amorphous quality. They described themselves as just maybe like the movement or the brethren, things like that. It's strange, though, how large these things can grow without much public knowledge about it. Like, how do you think people find out about these things? Is it just, you know, do they target people who are at a low point in their life? Do they just encourage the current members to reproduce? That sounds like what happened to you, Haley, because you say half my kin are Western North Carolina Blue Ridge Mountain folks and born and raised in this cult. So maybe that's part of it. Like, how do you indoctrinate, you know, outsiders?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it's a roving thing to where you would just go house to house and have a conversation the way some other religious movements do. A group of them showed up at my house earlier today, actually. Not this group, but a different group like that goes
Church
house
of Jesus
to house.
Christ of Latter-day Saints? Or
no, different ones.
There's several. There's a handful.
Yeah, there's several. Yeah,
there are. You're right. No, you're right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, shout out to the musical, The Book of Mormon. That
there
was
you go.
Great.
That was like a whole part of their, you know, initiation, I guess, more or less, is going door to door like that.
Yeah, I do want to give, like, we talked about the Church of LDS in past Strange News listener mail or episodes, but to be very clear, they are different from the 2x2s, very much so. I'm bringing up the Book of Mormon because the most amazing thing to me about that was when I saw it in the playbill, the actual Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had advertisements in here. They helped fund the play, and they've got this beautiful ad where they say, you've seen the play, now read the book. And I was like, oh,
that's funny.
Well done.
That's good marketing, man.
That's good marketing. But hopefully raising awareness of the 2x2s in the future will help bring some much needed justice, bring some closure to these folks. And again, you know, like you can tell, folks, we have a lot of research to do to dive into this one. And with that in mind, I suggest maybe we end with one brief letter from home and then we get back on the case. What do you guys think?
Do it.
Okay. With that vote of confidence, here is one letter from home, courtesy of Carrie. Letters from home, it's just similar to some of the voicemails we get. It's just quick tips or nice things. How you doing? How you folks? That kind of stuff. So Carrie says, hiya. I lived in Vietnam a number of years ago, and Nestle was everywhere. Their campaign was to convince new mums not to breastfeed, but to buy their formula, which was available in small shops owned by poor locals, locked up in cabinets with the promise of money. It was absolutely disgraceful. Keep focusing on these stories. It matters. And I think that's because we recently had a classic episode about Nestle publish.
I remember that.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Thank you to Sydney, Trash Panda, A-Frame. Thank you to Big Shucks. Makes my day that we were able to give someone a nickname, you know?
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. And thank you, of course, to Haley. We are on the case. We will be returning very soon with more strange news, more messages from you, more stuff they don't want you to know. Most importantly, before we go, folks, big favor. Do you want to join up with us? Do you want to share some stories or some leads with your fellow listeners? We'd love to have you, and we try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You don't have to wait till we come a knocking on your physical door.
There
you can reach out to us via the social media platform of your choice. We are Conspiracy Stuff on YouTube, where we have video content rolling out every single week on X, FKA Twitter, and also on Facebook. We have our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy. You can also find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram and TikTok.
Hey, we've noticed a couple of really nice reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and other places. If you have an inkling of wanting to review the show, we would just recommend it. We would say thank you so much for doing so. It means a lot and it helps the show. So if you got some time, please do that. If you don't want to do that, why not call us? Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. You've got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use that name and your voice on the air. If you've got more to say than 3 minutes worth, If you've got links, if you've got attachments, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email?
In the spirit of reviews, thank you for bringing that up, Matt. Before we get to the email, we'd like to thank Ian the Phoenician, in particular, wrote a very kind review called Lighthouse in the Storm. I don't want to spoil it for you, but go check that out. And while you are on the tubes and the cables of the internet, yes, do send us an email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Be careful. Sometimes the void writes back. All you have to do is drop us a line where we are conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.